Jesus, we're so thankful to be here today for your many blessings. Lord, I pray that we wouldn't be distracted by anything. We would be focused on what you have to say to us this morning. Father, I pray for encouragement. I pray for joy this morning. Those that's been down, those that's been hurting. Father, that you might breathe new back into them, that they might be refreshed. I pray all these things in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. So if you would, open up your Bibles to Matthew 11. And, you know, I got to thinking that sometimes it's just good to hear some good news, isn't it? You know, sometimes with the world and the way that the world is, it's really hard to, with all the negative, all the bad going on in our world and our society, and sometimes it's just good to hear some good news. And I think sometimes even coming to church, we don't always hear good news. It's don't do this, don't do that. And sometimes I think that, you know, I forget, and this is terrible, I forget that this is the good news. The Word of God is the good news. And so that's what I want to talk about today, the good news for all of us. Matthew 11, verse 1 says, after Jesus had finished instructing His 12 disciples, He went on from there to teach and preach in the town of Galilee. When John heard in prison what Christ was doing, he sent his disciples to ask him, are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else? Jesus replied, go back and report to John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is a man who does not fall away on account of me. The good news is being preached. Church, are we still preaching the good news to those around us? Is it still in our pulpits? Is it still in our homes? Is it still on our lips when we're at work, when we're at Walmart? Do we think of what we hear and what we read as the good news? In Matthew 11, 28 through 30, it says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. I want you to think about that. Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Anybody felt weary and burdened lately? Boy, I have. I'm tired of what's going on in the world. I'm tired of sickness. I'm tired of everything going on. And when I look at the world around me, I feel weary and I feel burdened. But He says, come to me, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Y'all, that's good news. That His yoke is easy and His burden is light, that He wants to provide rest for you and for me this morning. And I think sometimes we don't have the rest that we desire is because we're not looking to Jesus. We're looking under the world. We're looking at the news. We're looking at the media. We're looking at everything else, and we're not looking unto Jesus. And that's why we have no rest. That's why we're weary. That's why we have all this fret in our life. When you go to John 14, verse 1, He says, do not let your hearts be troubled. How many of you have troubled hearts this morning? Do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God, trust also in me. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you, I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going. Thomas said to him, Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way? Jesus answered, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know Him and have seen Him. There's so much there, church, but the good news is that Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. He said, I've gone to prepare a place for you. And so many of us are so fearful of death. We're so fearful of what's going to happen. We're struggling with every breath we have to stay alive. We're struggling with every ounce to make sure we're staying healthy. We're doing all this because we're so fearful of death. And when I think about how long ago Jesus went away, and He says, I'm going to prepare a place for you, how wonderful is that place going to be? I think it's going to be more wonderful than we can even imagine. In church, this is good news. Because the truth is, 100% in this room, every one of us someday are going to die unless Jesus comes back. It's inevitable for each and every one of us. But He says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. That we have a way now to go to heaven and to be with our Heavenly Father. That we have a way now that He's gone ahead to prepare a place for us because He loves us so much. He cares for us so much. The good news is that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us and that we can follow. We can follow. Thomas says, Lord, we don't know where to go. How can we get there? Jesus says, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. Y'all, this is good news for each and every one of us and for a lost and dying world around us that there has been a way made. Our 20 years since 9/11 coming up this next week. And so we have that streaming service that has National Geographic. And we were watching, it's all this footage and stuff that's never been shown before, well, according to their documentary about 9/11, and it's 5 or 6 part series. We've been watching that this week, and y'all, it just made me feel so sad. All those people that died in that tragedy. There was one man, and he was helping a lady, and he was kneeling with her, beside the first building, and she was injured, and he started saying the Lord's Prayer with her. And he said he was saying the Lord's Prayer when the second airplane crashed into the second tower. And he helped this lady get to the hospital, and he made it home. And about the time he got home, he said his brother-in-law called him and asked, do you know where, and it was his sister's name. I don't remember the sister's name. It is. And he said, well, don't you know where she is? Like, you're her husband. And he said she was on the plane. Her and his daughter. And he said that very moment that I was dealing with that lady saying the Lord's Prayer, my sister and niece were dying above me in that plane and he had no idea. Y'all, there's coming a day that each and every one of us, and this is supposed to be good news, and sorry, I'm kind of bringing you down. But the good news is though you die, yet you will live. That Jesus is going to prepare a place for you. And I always think of my brother-in-law Travis and his grandmother when she died. And I've told this story before, but she was laying there in the bed and said that it was, they knew her last breath and they called the family all in and they said she's laying there. I don't think she'd move for quite some time. And said she raised up her hand and she raised up her foot like she was taking a step into heaven. And her arm and leg dropped and she was gone. Y'all, she's seen where she was going. She had Jesus there to accompany her. We don't have to fear death anymore. We don't have to fear that. That's good news for each and every one of us. In 1 John 1, 9 says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. Any of y'all ever feel like, man, I just don't know if I can be forgiven? I've done so much. I've done so much evil. I've done so many wrongs. I've said this. I've done this. I've acted that way. I've hurt so many people. Any of y'all ever feel that way? I do. But Jesus in the Word of God says that if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just and will forgive us our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. See, that means not only are we forgiven of our sins, but no longer do we live in that sin anymore, that we can be set free. If we claim we have not sinned, we make Him out to be a liar, and His Word has no place in our lives. All of us have sinned. All of us have sinned. But Jesus has made a way if we'll confess our sins and then cleanse us from all unrighteousness, that we no longer have to live in that sin. He says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin." You see what He's saying there? I write this to you so that you will not sin. So if any of you think, well, I can just confess my sins and keep living the life that I've been living, that's not the way the Word of God works, okay? That's not the way that it works. And when you get the Holy Spirit in you, you'll see that's not the way it works, because I don't even have to be told. The Holy Spirit tells me, don't do that! Stop! Why did you do that? But He says, "My dear children, I write this to you so that you will not sin. But if anybody does sin, we have one who speaks to the Father in our defense, Jesus Christ, the righteous one." You see, we're not to live in sin. We're not to walk in sin. That's not to be who we are. But if you have sinned, and I have sinned since I've become a child of God, I have an advocate before my Father in heaven. And I see, I think so many times, if you are like me, when you sin, man, you feel horrible. You feel guilty. You feel shame. It's just this, oh. And see, that's where Satan wants to keep us, is in that misery and in that condemnation. But see, we have an advocate before the Father now, who's Jesus Christ. Verse 2 says He is atoning sacrifice for our sins, and not only for ours, but also for the sins of the whole world. Jesus came to die for your sins and for my sins and for those co-workers' sins and those family members' sins and the people we see at Walmart. And verse 3 says, "We know that we have come to know Him if we obey His commands. The man who says, 'I know Him,' but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him." See, and I think that right here's part of it, where people come to an altar once and they say a prayer once and they say, "Okay, I'm good." And there's never a change in their life. There's never anything different with their life. You're not good then. I'm not trying to bring condemnation on you, but you're not good then. Because see, when you become a child of God, He says, "Okay, I am your advocate if you sin." But we're no longer to live in that sin. And the man who says that I know Him but does not do what He commands is a liar, and the truth is not in him. So see, if we're not following what this Word says, then we're really not in Him. But if anyone obeys His words, God's love is truly made complete in Him. This is how we know we are in Him. Whoever claims to live in Him must walk as Jesus did. That's a hard verse for me to read. I'm not going to lie to you, because I don't walk entirely like Jesus did. But y'all, that's how we should be walking, each and every one of us. We should be walking as Jesus walked. We should be walking in truth, in love, in obedience. So let me ask you, have you confessed your sins to Jesus? Not to me. Not to a priest. Have you confessed your sins to Jesus today? Have you named them? Do you recognize? Because one of the scary things I think that's going on in our culture today is we don't want to take responsibility for anything. We want to put blame on the way we were raised. We didn't have a mom. We didn't have a dad. We didn't have that person that loved us. We want to put blame on because I was abused, because of this. And we want to put blame everywhere instead of stopping and saying, "I have sinned. I made the choice to live the life I live. I did this." And church, we need to come and we need to confess to a Heavenly Father. And then He says, "I will forgive you." Y'all, that's good news. All that evil, all that mean, all that garbage that you lived in, that's good news. You confess it to our Heavenly Father and He says, then I will forgive you and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. That's good news today that we can be cleansed from all unrighteousness and then we can walk in obedience. And there's obedience to prove that we are God's children now. And the love of God is in us now. That our lives have been transformed. Romans 3:23 through 25 says, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. And we are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Him as a sacrifice of atonement through faith in His blood. I was reading this and I just kept thinking of, oh, the blood of Jesus. Oh, the blood of Jesus. We don't talk about the blood of Jesus very much these days. We don't sing about the blood of Jesus very much these days. But the blood of Jesus is what washes us. The blood of Jesus is our atoning sacrifice. I'm trying to find my spot here. I want to go back to Hebrews. Hebrews 9, verse 11. I would really encourage you guys to go home and read Hebrews. Maybe read especially 9, 10. But I'm going to try and do a shorter version of the chapter this morning due to time. But Hebrews 9, 11 says, when Christ came as high priest of the good things that are already here, He went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made. That is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by means of the blood of goats and calves, but He entered the most holy place once for all by His own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. I don't want to go too deep into it, but you know in the Old Testament they had to sacrifice animals. There had to be blood in order for them to enter the temple. And I kept thinking about the Passover and the blood that was put on the door frames and why, so that the death angel would not come and kill the firstborn of those families. So the blood covering is what caused the Passover to happen. And now we have Jesus Christ and the blood of Jesus. Verse 13, the blood of goats and bulls and the ashes of a heifer sprinkled on those who are ceremonially unclean sanctified them so that they are outwardly clean. How much more then will the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself unblemished to God, cleanse our conscience from acts that lead to death so that we may serve the living God? For this reason, Christ is the mediator of a new covenant, that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, not that He has died as a now that He has died as a ransom to set them free from the sins committed under the first covenant. You see what that's saying? That He has died to set us free. His blood. It's good news, church. It's good news for you and it's good news for me. In Romans 10:13, he says, for everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. It's good news. How then can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. When was the last time you told somebody some good news? So I don't even want to watch football anymore, but something about it just kind of draws me in. Yesterday I'm listening on the radio to the Razorback game, and I got so mad I shut it off. I just quit listening. I thought, this is stupid. I heard a story about this guy from another country, this missionary that came to America, and the family that he was with took him to a big college football game where the stadium was packed. And after the game, the family said, "Well, what did you think of that game?" And he said, "I've never seen so much enthusiasm for something that means so little." And he's right. Man, we get so fired up about football and so fired up about things, but you know what? I heard the Razorbacks came back. I could hear it on the radio outside after I'd went inside. So you know what I kept doing? I kept walking outside to hear the score. And I walked back inside, walked back outside. And the Razorbacks ended up winning. And I went in and I told Crystal, "The Razorbacks won." That was good news. For some of us, anyway. What would have even been better news if Oklahoma would have went ahead and lost? But they didn't. I work with a bunch of guys from Oklahoma, and they rub it in all the time how good Oklahoma is and how bad Arkansas is. So, anyway, but when we're excited about something, when we're happy about something, we get a promotion, we have a new baby, we have just some good news, we tell people, don't we? You guys tell people. And I like to hear it. When your kids are doing something good, when something exciting happens in your life, I want to hear it. I do. But as I'm thinking about all that, and I think, you know, we get excited about football. We get excited about our kids' A's. We get excited about a home run. We get excited with that promotion. Do we get excited about Jesus still? I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, what would be the good news that I'd tell people about me? People know me now as a Christian. So how do I tell them more good news? You know, and if I was going to tell people the good news, what do I say? I don't tell them Casey's testimony. I don't tell them Susie's testimony. I tell them my testimony. Do I say the blood of Jesus has washed me clean? Do I tell them that no longer do I live for myself, but I live to try and please my Heavenly Father? I try to live in obedience now. And do I tell them that me preaching, that's not getting me to heaven? Me doing those things is not what gets me to heaven. Jesus' blood is what's going to get me to heaven. But it's the love of Jesus that compels me into obedience now that proves that I am under the blood now. Does that make sense? That obedience comes from the Holy Spirit living inside of me, that wanting to follow what His Word says comes from the love that He's lavished upon me and comes that now everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, but there's a lost and dying world and we're not even telling them. First John 3. 1 John 3:7. We just discussed this in the men's meeting a few weeks ago, and it really stuck with me. We went over these verses for quite a while. It says, "Dear children, do not let anyone lead you astray. He who does what is right is righteous, just as He is righteous. He who does what is sinful is of the devil, because the devil has been sinning from the beginning. The person or the reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the devil's work. No one who is born of God will continue to sin because God's seed remains in him. He cannot go on sinning because he has been born of God. This is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother." Those are some really hard verses there. and we broke them down and everything, but in our conclusion, I've sinned since I became a child of God. But I don't practice a sinful life anymore. Does that make sense? And if you're practicing a sinful life and you're okay with it, I'm telling you, you're being led astray if you think you're okay. But if you practice righteousness, then you are a child of God. That's what the Word's saying. Not that you've fallen short. We read a minute ago that we have an advocate before the Father when you sin. But if your lifestyle, if it's the practice, and we went through this, and I started to text Tim to have him bring it up in Amplified. I looked it up on my phone, because when you read this in Amplified, it really is good, okay? So maybe go home and read it. If you don't have an Amplified Bible, you can Google it, and you can get an Amplified Bible just like that on your phone, okay? And I would challenge you to go home and read this, but it's about if you're practicing sin. If that is your lifestyle, you're practicing sin, then you know what? Acts 3:19 says, "Repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord." That if you're practicing a lawless, sinful life, that this is the moment and this is the time that you say, "Jesus, forgive me," and you repent and you turn from that. And that's the good news of the gospel, that there's still hope, there's still a chance today for you and for me. And I think part of the confessing of sin is recognizing that we're doing it wrong. I don't know if this is making sense or not today, but the confessing says, "I'm doing it wrong." And the person who's practicing lawlessness probably thinks they're doing it right. You're not. If your lifestyle is full of sin, you're not doing it right. But the good news is that you can ask Jesus Christ to forgive you today. You can repent and turn from that. And He will. And He will forgive you. And then you begin to live in righteousness. And then this is how we know who the children of God are and who the children of the devil are. Anyone who does what is right. Anyone who does not do what is right is not a child of God, nor is anyone who does not love his brother. So the good news is that we can repent, that we can turn. If it's come to your mind today that you say, "Man, I've asked Jesus to save me, but there's really been no change in my life," then you need to ask Jesus to come into your life and to fill you. And sometimes what we need to do is change the stuff we're allowing in our life. Change the repentance being a direction. So that means changing the direction. If your normal habit was to go sit at the bar and get sloppy drunk, you don't need to go to the bar no more. If your normal habit is to sit and stare at a television and fill your mind with garbage for hours upon end, you need to shut off the television. If your normal habit is to pull up on your phone and fill your mind with the world or the things of the world or stuff that you should not be looking at, you need to get rid of your phone. That's what repentance is. That's what turning is. And that's what saying, "God, give me strength. God, give me hope." And He will. And He will. And He will. And that's the good news, is that you can be saved today. That you can, when that moment of the end of your life comes, that Jesus is going to be there, His angels surrounding you, and you're just taking a step from this life into the next life, like you're walking from this room to that room. And Jesus is going to be there to be with you, to guide you, to protect you. Isaiah 1:18 says, "Come now, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins are like scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they are red as crimson, they shall be like wool." The good news is that Jesus has made a way, that your sins, like scarlet, can be made white as snow. And y'all, that's good news. That's good news. That means that when Satan reminds me of all that wrong that I've done, that means when things come back to my mind and I begin to feel condemnation and I begin to feel like the past has a hold on me, that I can say no, that it's under the blood. It's under the blood of Jesus. That now I'm a new creation and all those things of the past are gone. I don't know about y'all, but man, it bugs me sometimes when I remember things that I've done. Even the things that I've done since I've been a Christian, when I've lost my temper and last week I talked about emotions and how you can't trust your emotions. And last week, the emotions of anger, the emotions of jealousy, the emotions of resentment. And even since I've been a child of God and sometimes I'm reminded of that stuff and I feel so guilty and I feel such condemnation. But then I got to ask, have I confessed it as sin to my Heavenly Father? Have I turned away from it? Have I repented from it? And if I have, it's under the blood. I'm no longer living in that. I'm a new creation. The old is gone. The new has come. So let me just say to end, repent, accept the good news of Jesus, that God has given us a time of refreshing. Repent, Acts 3:19 says, repent then and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord. I don't know about y'all, but I feel like the church needs a time of refreshing. I think the church needs some good news. All we're hearing about is COVID and sickness and death, and we've had loved ones that we've lost. We've had family members that we lost, and then the government's in a mess, and there's violence everywhere, and all this garbage is all around us. And you know what? We need times of refreshing, and we need to remember that we're only here for a short time. And then we're promised all eternity with Jesus, with God, that He's gone to prepare a place for us. John 11:25-26, last verse, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? You know, when... when my grandpa Rose died, I was at church camp with the kids. We got there hadn't even been there very long, and I got the call. And I don't think there could have been a grandkid love a grandpa more than what I loved my grandpa Rose. I loved him. We were close. We hung out all the time together. Because they lived in Michigan, when they would come down, they lived with us, and sometimes they might be with us 4 or 5 months. Sometimes it was just a long weekend they would drive down to see us. And couldn't have loved anybody more than I loved my grandpa. But you know, a funny thing happened when he died, is I found that I didn't even cry. That's weird, Pete. Why wouldn't you cry? You love somebody that much. Do you know why I couldn't cry? Because I knew... That I knew my grandpa was with Jesus, and he'd been sick and had suffered for many, many years with heart issues, with strokes and everything else. And I knew his suffering was over because he was with Jesus. Y'all, we have that hope. That's the good news of the gospel today. Do you have that hope for yourself? Do you have that hope for your family? For your loved ones? If not, share your story. And I'm going to tell you this as we quit. You can say something, but if your life doesn't back it up, you're a hypocrite. And so sometimes we need to live it before we even say it. We need people to see it in us so they ask, what's up with you? How can you have that joy? How can you have that peace? How are you not full of fear like everyone else? Because we have a hope that this is just temporary, but the blood of Jesus has washed us clean. That our sins are not counted against us anymore. And we need to be sharing that with the people around us. Because you don't know when your time's up, when their time's up. Live it and then share it. Let's stand. Father, I thank You for Your Word today. And Lord, more than anything, I thank You for forgiving me of my sins. I know I'm unworthy. I know I don't deserve it. But Father, I'm so thankful for the cross and the blood that was shed for my sins. And not only my sins, but the sins of this church and the sins of this world. And Father, I pray this morning that if there's any here that have not accepted Your blood covering in that new covenant that's come, if there's any here that are still living in unrighteousness and a sinful life, that their eyes might be opened at this moment to repent and to turn from their sins and to accept You as their Lord and Savior and to begin to live that new life. Father, may we as Your children be ready to share the good news. We can talk about football. We can talk about sports. We can talk about the weather, but Lord, it seems so hard sometimes to talk about You. May we not be ashamed. And more than anything, may our lives prove that we are Your children by the way that we live. So when those around us ask, we can say, You have set us free. You have changed us. Because of Your love and because of Your Holy Spirit, we now walk in obedience and live life differently than the world. Have Your way now with every heart here in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. If you need prayer this morning, if you need to repent this morning, if God's brought something to your heart, now's the time to get it right.
Jealous for me, love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. And oh, how He loves us so. Oh, how He loves us. How He loves us. He is jealous for me. Love's like a hurricane. I am a tree bending beneath the weight of His wind and mercy. When all of a sudden I am unaware of these afflictions eclipsed by glory, and I realize just how beautiful You are and how great Your affections are for me. He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves. And we are His portion, and He is our prize, drawn to redemption by the grace in His eyes. Grace is an ocean we're all seeking. So So heaven meets earth like an unforeseen kiss, and my heart turns violently inside of my chest. I don't have time to maintain these regrets when I think about the way, yeah, He loves us. Oh, how He loves us. Oh, how He loves
us. I was just thinking about I watched the Unashamed podcast with the Duck Dynasty guys, and Jace was talking about his son had bought this like Bitcoin or one of them and paid like $400 or $500 for it, and it said when it got up to $2,000 or $3,000, that Jace told him, said, "Son, you need to sell that. You need to sell it because it's gonna fall." So he made his son sell it and said, "Now it's worth like $60,000 to $80,000." And he said, "But I was talking about that at work. I don't understand it. I don't even know. And if I'm telling it wrong, you guys correct me. But apparently, with some of that Bitcoin and all that stuff, you have to have your code or something. There's a digit to keep it from being stolen. And there's a guy in Alma that has 3 blocks or something of it." They're worth like $60,000 to $80,000 or something each. And he can't find his codes. He can't unlock it. And you got so many chances to enter, and he's down to the last couple chances, and if he doesn't enter them right, they're gone. And that's what some guys at work told me. I've not invested in that. I don't understand it all. So you're talking about $180,000 that it could just be gone because he doesn't have the right code. Well, I'm going to tell y'all, if I would have invested in Bitcoin with $400 or $500 and it was worth about $80,000 right now, I'd be letting y'all know, man, that's awesome. It's good news. But you know what? That's all temporary, and it can be lost and it can be taken away. If I give you a hot tip on the stock market and we all become millionaires, how great would that be? But you know what? It's temporary. But Jesus Christ and the work that He did on that cross for you and for me is for eternity. It doesn't matter if you're 10 years old or 110 years old. You accept Jesus. When your last breath is breathed, you're in His presence for all eternity. And the worries and the stress and the things of this life and the good things of this life and the bad things of this life are all gone. But Jesus and His Word will remain. Let's grab hold of Jesus with everything that's in us. Let's have the confidence that when we die, that it's just stepping from this room to that room, but we'll be able to physically see the one that we've believed in. Y'all have a blessed holiday. It's a holiday weekend. Blessed afternoon, blessed week. And Lord willing, I'll see y'all Wednesday or Sunday.